Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I put something in Ben's coffee so that he'll be a little bit more liberal today, so we'll see.
Good. Bring on George McGovern.
We'll see if that happens. There you go.
McGovern, yes, 72.
He's going to harken back to his McGovern years. Lost, welcome on board, everybody.
Lost 49-1, but he ran the race.
Well, tell you what, he had your help, too. So that was the last time you ever supported a losing candidate. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Please do check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line will be open after we wrap up the Financial Friday segment in a moment here. But in the meantime, you are welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. We very much would love to hear from you, and that is the number to call in or to text in, 70236, and use the keyword OTM if you wish. Mm-hmm. We are glad to say it is Financial Friday, and on this particular day, we'll report that the jobless rate nationally went down last month, and so we're going to enjoy some analysis from Bob Garrett, President and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce. Bob, thank you so much for calling in today.
Good to be here, Mark and Ben. I'm still elated by the invitation we got yesterday from you, Mark, to be there in person. Sorry we couldn't do that today, but Art and I will be there with a rose between our teeth in August to be back together again and in new normal, as we call it.
Are there going to be rose between your teeth as you wear your Roman togas and sandals as you come into the arena?
Well, you know, I'm still working from home, Ben, so I got the sandals covered this morning, but why don't you do the toga, I'll do the sandals.
Please. I think we've taken the toga as far as we can this morning. We don't want to ruin the show. Remember, we're going to be on camera in the months ahead, too.
Well, so that's what I thought. We got these cameras in here, guys, so you look good, you feel good, you talk good, and we have some interesting information to talk about here today.
But we got to dress good, too. We're glad to say Art Thomas is on board as well here, Chairman of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, President of MECTEC and Diversified Construction. Art, thank you so much for calling in today.
I don't know how to follow that discussion, so I'll just say good morning, everybody.
Yeah, best just left alone. You know, don't go there. That's a sound policy, just about any conversation. Okay, and we have Ben Reichle is with us, our good conservative co-host. He's a Republican committee person. He comes here as an American first and a family man and a person of faith and a person who's here to tell us about some of the conservative ideals in the U.S. So we're going to talk about that. We will start with Bob Garrett. Jobless rate went down. I'm going to say just 850,000 jobs created, and that's sort of the skeptic in me coming out. Bob, what's your reaction to what you heard?
Well, you can go ahead and say just 850,000 jobs, but Mark, I'm quickly looking here, looking back 40 years, and I can tell you that's the third largest ever month-over-month job gain. The two biggest ones were last year, as we were coming out of the pandemic, about this time last year, frankly, and so this one is the third largest ever recorded. You are in the midst of a boom, whether you want to admit it or not. We're clawing our way back, and I will take a tip from the person from the news who's pointed out we're still 3 million jobs less than we had before the pandemic. There's still a lot of people on the sideline, and we're going to get a little bit further into that, dig into that, take the deep dive, as you would say, Mark, into the folks that are still sitting on the sidelines. But the point is the economy is coming back. It's coming back in ways that we had not anticipated. Thrilled to see that the leisure and hospitality industry is leading sector, is the leading sector, because they're the folks that took the biggest the brunt of the pandemic. Right or wrong, doesn't really matter at this point. They were the ones who were shut down and now are reopening in big, big ways and getting money into people's pockets. And that money can only multiply into more and more economic prosperity.
Jobless rate ticked upward slightly from 5.8% to 5.9%. Art, your reaction, you're monitoring this clawback of the U.S. economy.
And interestingly enough, now I'll borrow your term, we're still bumping along the bottom here. We're fishing the bottom, trying to get some flounder, I guess. We're not fishing for trout. But the point is the participation rate also went up by, interestingly, the exact same amount, by 0.1%. So I always think that you got to look at both. In fact, there's really, it's a triangulation. You have to look at the unemployment rate, the participation rate, which would be the employment rate, the number of people who could be working who are in the labor force, and then you always want to look at the long-term unemployed. And it's the long-term unemployed, frankly, that we're putting our energy into, we're putting our efforts into, putting our encouragement into to get those folks back into the labor force, make sure they have the skill sets they need. You know, they have to bring the attitude. We can help them out when it comes to getting the skills that they need to be competitive in today's economy.
All right. Art, your view on all this?
Well, I've been telling you guys for months not to worry about the job creation. It's been coming and going and coming stronger every month. It's going to continue to keep going. Obviously, the unemployment data in our four-county region is at unbelievably unrealistic lows. So we certainly have a local workforce problem here, and we're working on that. But on a national perspective, we're booming back with jobs, and it's going to continue. But that leads me into my next concern, which is consumer spending, is what I'll call it. And for those of you that are listening this morning, most of your viewing audience or your listening audience, close your eyes and think back to the 70s and 80s when you got your first 30-year mortgage. We were all told to put down as little as we could get away with and buy more house than we could afford, because we were going to have salaries increase and we were going to grow into our homes, and we all bit for that and did it. And now imagine you're 6 or 7 years into that 30-year mortgage, your kids are 6, 8, and 10, and all of a sudden the bank or the government tells you for the next 18 months you don't have to make a mortgage payment. Can you imagine that? And all of a sudden, do you think those people saved for 18 months what their mortgage payment would have been? Or do you think they adjusted their spending habits? Now, let's apply that to our millennials and Gen Z with their student loans. Anywhere from $700 to $1,200 a month they had to pay in student loans, and for 18 months they haven't had to pay them. That same demographic feels like they're supermen. We all remember when we were in our 20s and 30s, we were never going to die. Pandemic wasn't going to affect us. So they're the ones that have gone out. They're the ones that have been spending money. They're the ones that have been going to the restaurants and keeping those that have made it through afloat. They also are the same demographic that are faster with their online purchase apps on their smartphones than Clint Eastwood was with a gun. So these people have adjusted their spending habits, and in the next couple of months, those student loan payments are going to come back in their face. In the next couple of months, the $300 extra unemployment is going to end, and everybody's going to have to go back to work. So that's going to further increase the jobs, because people are going to go back to work so they can make their student loan payments. And then I'm worried about their consumer spending. Hopefully the momentum will have been big enough and coming along fast enough that it'll carry us through, but I think there's going to be a few months this fall where we might see spending drop off because everybody's trying to regroup from all the money they spent for the last year and a half. That's what I think, Mark.
All right, I'm not inviting you on the show anymore. It's just not working out.
Well, I guess the question would be, do you feel lucky?
Yeah, I feel lucky, Mr. Eastwood. I feel real lucky. Our office was off for 4 weeks, and then we worked remote for 6 weeks, and we've been back to work ever since. Fortunately, in our industry, there's been work to carry us through. So, yeah, I feel lucky. I know that was a play on Clint Eastwood.
Well,
the
scenario in art, you really created an interesting narrative because, you know, we see groups of people, particularly geographic areas, the Midwest, the flyover country in the United States, so where savings is up, where people still, maybe their great-grandparents or grandparents still taught them a little bit about the Depression and a penny saved is a penny earned type of deal. We see other areas where the government is putting money in their pockets, and boy, if you feel good, do it. If it really feels good, keep doing it. And if the government's going to subsidize you doing it, why would you stop doing it? And we're going to see this going through July and August, but we're also seeing the growth of the states, where these jobs are coming from in particular states, and many of them have opened up and they've controlled the pandemic in a way that some of the other maybe more liberal states didn't. It'd be real interesting come September, because in the talk in Washington was trying to extend these $300 a week payments, or make it maybe $100, $150 a week. And the point is, and Bob, you can address this from a chamber standpoint, and Art as a private business owner, the government is competing with the private sector for jobs. This growth was going to happen no matter what coming out of the pandemic. I mean, this was a ball of fire just ready to be released. So all of a sudden you have the government at $300 a week. This isn't $300 a month additional payments. This was $300 a week competing with the private sector and other sectors for labor. And like I said, it'll be interesting to see what will happen in September when these payments stop, when people have to go back to work. And on the other hand, did some 28, 29, 25-year-old, I'm going to just say mechanics, get into the job sector, and all of a sudden these 45, 48, 49-year-olds might not have a job. It'll be interesting to see how the sectors adjust and how the people who took jobs now or took jobs back in April, are there going to be jobs for those people in September, October, when they want to get back into the workforce?
I'll let you guys stew on that. We have to take a break, and that's the point we're at in our show. But when we come back, we will have Bob Garrett of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce on the line, and Art Thomas, chairman of the chamber and president of MechTech and Diversified Construction. And if you'd like to email us a comment, a remark, or a question, you can do so at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236, include the keyword OTM. We will be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, Art alluded to it, and Bob's going to be asked to elaborate on it. We're talking about the jobless rate going down, or going up slightly to 5.9%, 850,000 jobs. Ben, you're voicing concerns about inflation. Give that to our panel.
Yeah, I ask both of you. We're seeing inflation. We're seeing pricing. We're seeing it in commodities. Some of the commodities, lumber and that, have tapered off a bit. In the waterworks industry or infrastructure industry, we're seeing pricing all over the place. Now, of course, manufacturers take advantage of some of these situations. But on the other hand, do you both see inflation, and I'm going to throw this out, gas up 92 cents compared to last year at this time? Do you see this as a temporary plateau? And then once the supply chain gets back, commodity prices should start falling again? Or do you see where this could be a permanent benchmark and we go from here?
Yeah, I appreciate that, Ben. You know, I've been doing a lot of writing lately and being interviewed on this issue of inflation. Also, I've been traveling a little bit. Took my early summer break, and my wife and I were traveled through four or five different states. And I can tell you, if you want cheaper gas, just drive to Massachusetts. It's 50 cents cheaper there than it is in New Jersey and Pennsylvania. Not 50 cents, but 20 cents anyhow cheaper. Yeah, what we're experiencing, Ben, is this is classic supply and demand. It started with the overshopping at the beginning of the pandemic when toilet paper became so valuable people were paying $10 or giving up their firstborn child or something like that for a roll of toilet paper. Of course, I'm being slightly facetious, but the point is that we are in the midst of a wildly fluctuating supply and demand. Your question was, is there going to be a new benchmark? And I'm going to say, I hope so. Frankly, we haven't been paying for some products. I'm not talking about gasoline here, but we have not been paying for some products the value of those products. We've gone for a decade now of almost deflation, not inflation, but deflation. You know, when prices are only moving 1% per year, when pay raises are very, very low year over year over year, the long-term effect of that is not prosperity. The long-term effect of that is stagnation. So I think coming out of this, there's going to be some new benchmarking. It's slightly higher. In many cases, that's going to be a good thing because it means that salaries are going to go up. People are going to have more money in their pockets, et cetera. Does that all get eaten up by inflation? I doubt it. It's just that a lot of people, as Art was pointing out, a lot of people had a lot of money in their pockets, and they said, hey, let's do that renovation, or young people, let's buy that van and renovate it into a camper, or let's buy this, let's buy that. That all leads to an increase in prices. The other thing is that, like, for example, lumber. A lot of the lumber we have in Pennsylvania is coming from Canada. Canada is by and large still shut down due to COVID-19. They're well behind us in their vaccination rates, et cetera. There's other factors going on. But this will all, it'll all level out. It may level out slightly higher than it is right now, but we'll all be fine.
Art, your view on this inflation fear, you did allude to it.
Yeah, I think we're going to experience it here in the second half of the year, but I agree with what Bob has said. I think things are going to level off and possibly a bit higher and possibly a bit so. It's been 10, 12 years since the Great Recession, 13 years since the Great Recession, and it's taken us a long time to come out of that. And we're going to boom here for a while, and we're booming regardless of the cost of things because there's money in supply. And I think that that supply of money is going to be run through, and it's just a matter of when. Will it be 2 months from now or 8 months from now, harsh winter? That's what I think.
All right, Bob, the worker shortage, what is new on that front to try to get more people back in the workplace?
Yeah, and I'm going to use that invitation, Mark, to bring us a little bit closer to home. We've been talking about national unemployment rates and national jobs created, et cetera, et cetera. Here in Pennsylvania, we're doing okay in the greater Susquehanna Valley. We're doing much better than okay. For example, Mark, in the United States of America, there's 3,006 counties. Now, in some states, they're called parishes, or in like in Louisiana and Alaska, they're called boroughs instead of counties. But governmental bodies that we would recognize as counties, so 3,006 of those. Right now, this month, the Montour County rates number 30th out of 3,006 with an unemployment rate of 3.9%, which, by the way, is continuing to lead the state. Now, we're tied with Chester County this month, but that is the lowest unemployment rate in the entire state of Pennsylvania, the 30th lowest in the nation county unemployment rate. So that's something, you know, we need to say, we need to make sure people understand that we don't have a whole lot of people on the sidelines. You know, it's very popular right now to blame the worker shortage on people sitting, you know, lazy people or people that are taking advantage of this program or that program. We just don't have a whole lot of them. That's the real issue. 3.9% in Montour County, you're talking about maybe 120, 125 people total. And that's on one hand. On the other hand, you look at the major employers in Montour County, and they probably have, what, 1,500 jobs right now that they would be happy to fill. So you do the math. That comes out. But right behind Montour County is Union County at 4%. Snyder County also very low unemployment at 4.4%, and Northumberland County at 6.5%. In comparison, the statewide unemployment rate is 6.9%. So Pennsylvania is still lagging a little bit. We could point fingers at a few of the reasons for that, mostly having to do with public policy. But the point is, here in the greater Susquehanna Valley, we're doing quite well, in fact, leading the state when it comes to unemployment rates. Having said that, Mark and Ben, we believe at the Chamber that there are still structural issues to be attacked. We continue to believe that there's a training gap, a skills gap between the jobs that are available and the skill sets that people have, and we're not going to slow down. We are going to be a constant drumbeat encouraging education, vocational education specifically, career-long education. I think, Ben, you were talking about, you know, the young buck coming in with all the hotshot skills, and the person that's 20 years in their career, they're going to be bumped aside. The fact of the matter is, in the 21st century, you have to commit yourself to lifelong education. Technology changes, what, every 2 to 3 years? And you've got to stay with it. And the Chamber is going to do everything we can do to make sure that that the local people are being trained and are being prepared for the jobs that exist in the greater Susquehanna Valley.
Bob, I would say this: Harry Mathias Jr.
Central Columbia.
Call him, find out what they're doing. They're doing well at Central Columbia, and every school should get a slice of that pie.
Well, thanks for that tip, Ben. And we are in. We have a statewide career operation, career development operation, regional career operation, and Harry's involved with that. Jen Haynes involved with it. The different community colleges and 2-year schools are involved with it. Art, for example, is involved at the earliest levels and the whole way through.
These are great, but next year at this time we should be talking about how we close the skills gap, and 5 years from this time we shouldn't be talking about why we have a skills gap. We have people that are overly skilled and are going out and starting their own plastic extrusion companies, or they're starting a software company, and we're becoming the Susquehanna Valley is thinking that we're the second coming of Silicon Valley East. So, at some point, we have to get our arms around workforce development and skills gap. Or maybe it's something that we can never get our arms around. We can only try to we can never stop it. We can only control it type of deal.
Well, and also, Ben, we're in this for the long haul. You know, next year's juniors will become the year after seniors. You know, we have to stay in this for the long haul. We have to be developmental about it and be very consistent in our message. And our consistent message is there's great careers right here in the greater Susquehanna Valley. If there's still folks out there thinking you have to leave Sealands Grove, you have to leave Lewisburg, you have to leave Sunbury to have a good career, they're dead wrong. There are good careers in the greater Susquehanna Valley. That doesn't mean our young people shouldn't go out and see the world. Absolutely they should. But we just want to make sure they understand that, that when you're done seeing the world, come on home. We'd love to have you be part of our workforce.
All right, we're going to put Art. Art, can you stay into the 9 a.m. hour? I know your companies are operating at a full 10 speed these days. Can you stay on past 9 a.m.?
Yes.
All right, fabulous. Please do so. We're going to make sure that we get some additional remarks. We've got to find out about the ever-refining of the work and products of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce and the activities and events that are coming up, and they'll have an opportunity for a closing remark as well. We're still doing analysis of the latest jobless numbers. Unemployment up to 5.9%, 850,000 jobs. Labor participation rate stays the same, and we're going to continue this at 9:06. Then we'll do news headlines and we'll open up the phones. You are listening to News Radio 1070 WDKOK Sunbury. WDKOK News Time. It is now 9 a.m. Eastern Daylight Saving Time. Good morning.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Ben Reichle.
And we are back on Financial Friday doing further analysis of the latest jobless numbers, trying to get more people to work and trying to make sure that the skills gap gets filled around here. We're wrapping up with Bob Garrett, President and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, and his right-hand man, Art Thomas, Chairman of the Chamber and President of MechTech and Diversified Construction. We'll turn it right over to Bob and talk about the activities and the ongoing, always being refined mission of the Chamber and some of the events that are coming up. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, thank you, Mark. First off, highlights of the jobs report that we heard at 8:30. 850,000 jobs created nationwide, a slight uptick of the unemployment rate of 5.9%, participation rate maintaining at 61.6%. Local unemployment rates range from the lowest in the state of 3.9%, in Montour County to 6.5%. In Northumberland County, our state unemployment rate is 6.9%. So all four counties in the greater Susquehanna Valley are below the state unemployment rate, and three of the four are under the national unemployment rate. What do we have coming up? Well, we're asking folks, sort of the theme of this week coming up is come on out, we're open. And we're encouraging everybody to get out. You just heard the news. There is a new Delta variant out there. If you haven't gotten vaccinated, get vaccinated. You have a tiny chance of being exposed to the or catching the Delta variant if you're vaccinated. If you're unvaccinated, you're basically playing Russian roulette at this point. So follow the science. We've been saying it for 15, 16 months now. We're going to keep saying it. But we want you to come on out. A lot of great events lined up. I think just about every community has events lined up for this weekend and through Monday, which is the holiday for the 4th of July, which, of course, is Sunday. Art and I got to see Ben yesterday up at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club, and they're open. Brian is doing a fabulous job with the food up there. When Brian's chips came out to Art, I think he armed himself with a fork and said, "Nobody touched these chips. They're the best I've ever eaten." So a lot going on. Fireworks up at the Country Club with the Chamber. July, traditionally the Chamber, honestly, we say, "Well, let's take July off to sort of catch our breath get back in, and we'll see you in August. Not this year. We're going to take advantage of everything opening back up. For example, on Tuesday, July 6th at 11 a.m., we're doing a ribbon cutting at DQ Grill and Chill down there on 11 and 15. Come by and see Nils and Simonia and everybody else. They've gone through a renovation, and we're going to be doing a ribbon cutting for them. If you haven't heard, we're hosting along with UPMC the Neighborhood Beer Garden with all the women in the drindles and men in their lederhosen at the Beer Garden at the Lewisburg Farmers Market. That's every Wednesday from 11 to 1. A great place to get together under the shade in the pavilion there and meet up with your friends. A lot of discussion going on, political and otherwise, at the Beer Garden. A lot of fun. Also next week on Thursday, we'll have our business on tap. We're out at Rusty Rail in Mifflinburg for that. That, again, is a networking event hosted by the Rusty Rail. Come on up. It'll be a great time. And you'll get the back where the scenes of Rusty Rail that no one gets to see. So make sure you come up for that. And then we're going to round out the month, almost the last day of the month, on Thursday, July 29th. We're doing something that should be fun. I think that Ben can be our great mentorship leader in this. We're doing something called a Chip and Chat, sponsored by the Fulton Bank. We're going to be out at the Knoebels Three Ponds Golf Course. And what we're going to do is just work with folks for them to understand three holes of golf, and understand how you can use golfing to build your networking skills, your get that promotion you're looking for. Chip and Chat. Come on out. A little bit of afternoon golfing followed by networking, and just a good time by everybody. That's down at Knoebels Three Ponds on July 29th. So a lot coming up. Ben and Mark, and maybe Art wants to add a little bit more to that.
Art, wish to elaborate. We were just talking about busy chamber calendar. You can click on just about every day, and you see something.
Yeah, well, that's what we like to see. We want to be there for our members and make sure that they're getting what they pay for, and we're working real hard to see that. I think everything we've talked about today and we talk about every month is further evidence that Greater Susquehanna Valley is a great place to live, work, and play. I was born and raised here. I went away to get my education, and I came back. And if anything, we're not a place of extremes. You know, we don't get extreme tornadoes, extreme hurricanes, extreme blizzards. We're protected from all that. And in the same token, with our population density or lack thereof, we didn't get extreme effects from the pandemic. We didn't go down as far as others did, and we're bouncing back quicker than some of the others. I think globally it's the same way. You know, the United States, with our fast action on the vaccines, here we are coming out of it, and we're hearing about shutdowns elsewhere in the world. That might be something to affect us, and maybe talk about next month. There's so much reliance on international trade these days that if the rest of the world doesn't come back as fast as we are, that may affect us too. But Greater Susquehanna Valley, a great place to live, work, and play.
Hey, Bob, I will take you up on that for the golfing, and we'll discuss proper terms to use and not use, when to and when not to throw a club, when to drive your golf cart close and not close to the green. But, no, I agree, you know, Mark and I were talking here. Chamber calendars packed going through July. Great staff. I participated in the state chamber. What was it, Bob? 2 weeks ago, the virtual chamber meeting where Greater Central Susquehanna Valley Chamber was well represented. Chris did an excellent job down there. Gene Barr, the governor, was on. I mean, at times there was about 40 of us on, and it was a great format, and we were very well represented. And you and the staff do an excellent job of getting our chamber front and center, especially on the state level.
Well, thank you both so much for checking in and making Financial Friday and giving us the pre-notes and the preview. We appreciate it, Bob and Art. Thank you both so much for checking in today.
Thanks for having us.
Do appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. And Ben, if you show up at the end of the month, we'll let you play five holes.
You just keep on playing. All right. Thank you so much. That's Art Thomas, chairman of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, president of MEC Tech, a great company around here, and Diversified Construction, Inc., mm-hmm. and Bob Garrett, president and CEO of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce, on the line. So we appreciate them checking in and all that information and all that help. Now, On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. We have open toll-free lines right now. Call us now. This is your last opportunity for 9 days to get your opinion off your chest and speak out in WKOK land. We'd love to hear from you. Our toll-free line is open, 1-800-795-9565. Joe and I and Ben take a week off, and we'll be back on Monday the 12th. Well, Ben won't be back till the 16th, but we'll be back. Joe and I will be back on the 12th, and we're going to do some best-of segments next week. Plus, I'm going to squeeze in a couple of sunrise segments, very pertinent topics that really relate to the discussions that we had on the radio. So those will be coming up next week. But toll-free line now open. We got one call coming in, but we'll take more comers. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. We invite you to do what I did. That's go to sunburymotors.com. That is a double company. They got the North 4th Street Shopping Plaza. It's got tons of vehicles there, literally, scattered throughout the lot, and they are waiting for those chips to get made so they can get even more vehicles there and resume their volume dealership, but they are selling vehicles. I'm one of the many people who has vehicles on order there that we ordered from the website. We hope they come in soon. I got an electric Mustang coming in for my lovely bride to cruise around in. I did buy a Ford F-150 with the EcoBoost motor, but that was before the lightning, so I put in a double order to get two of those in. The Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury is open. If you're not ready for a new vehicle, you just need service, they got it there. Nitrogen for tires, they'll pump you up. They got the alignment shop and the body shop and the parts shop and the car wash shop, you name it. They got so many shops down there to take good care of you. SunburyMotors.com is where your visit begins, and they would just love to hear from you at the Sunbury Motor Company. Let's do some brief news headlines here. In Northumberland early this morning, 5:30 a.m., there was a fire. Volunteers made a quick stop on a smoky blaze on the upper floor of an apartment there. That fire was out quickly. And then Pine Street in Coltmont was where a home was nearly leveled by a fire. Volunteers prevented the fire from spreading, but it's still an active fire scene. And we don't have any word at all from the scene in terms of injury, so we don't have any to report, but nor can we rule out anything at this point. But we know 6th Street and Pine Street still blocked in Coltmont at that fire scene. City of Sunbury asking residents to take note of the change in their fireworks law, especially when fireworks can and cannot be used. Now is the time that you are permitted to use fireworks from noon to 11 p.m. After 11 p.m. until noon the next day, these days, you cannot use fireworks in the city of Sunbury. That's a prosecutable offense. Speaking of prosecution, Northumberland County District Attorney Tony Matalevich, part of a news conference yesterday.
In addition to the static checkpoints that you think of a DUI checkpoint, there is probably about an equal number of roving patrols that you don't know about, which are police that are driving around side streets.
Drive sober or get pulled over, the message from a half a dozen lawmen yesterday participating in that news conference. If you were hoping that your child would learn more about the U.S. racial history through the 1619 Project or critical race theory at the Midwest School District, you are going to be sorely disappointed.
School Board President Victor Abate says the district passed a resolution at its June 14th board meeting stating it won't allow use of the two increasingly controversial materials. Experts tell us critical race theory is an academic movement of civil rights scholars and activists who seek to critically examine U.S. law as it intersects with the issues of race in the U.S. The 1619 Project is an ongoing initiative from the New York Times Magazine that began in August 2019, the 400th anniversary of the beginning of American slavery. It aims to reframe the country's history by placing the consequences of slavery and the contributions of black Americans at the center of narrative. Abate says district parents and some church pastors came to the board with deep concerns about a month and a half ago. He agreed, saying critical race theory and the 1619 Project don't have a place in district curriculum, and the board won't let the district be politicized. He says most parents, teachers, and administrators in the district have shown positive support since the resolution passed. Back to Trillo, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Check that state. Senator John Gordon, the Senate Majority Whip, was on the WKOK Newsline earlier this week talking about bipartisan support for a conservative budget out of Harrisburg.
We're being very responsible and prudent. I mean, we're making the second largest investment in public education that's made. We're sending money to nursing homes, basically for the workers there.
You can hear his full interview on the WKOK podcast page. The U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced her appointments to the Select Committee to investigate the attack on the U.S. Capitol January 6th, including Congresswoman Liz Cheney, of all people. And the U.S. Supreme... Pardon me?
Exciting.
Yeah. The U.S. Supreme Court upheld voting restrictions in Arizona, so the conservative court making their announcement
there. They
didn't
hold up voting restrictions. They held the voting rights.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Stan's been patiently waiting. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark. Last caller before a quickie break.
Good morning. Question for Ben, probably. Every month they have this jobs created number. Now, since last year when everybody was forced out of work because of the pandemic by the government, they've been coming back. People have been coming back to work, and they say their jobs created. They actually, in my opinion, aren't creating any new jobs. They're just reemploying the people they laid off.
Yeah, retaining jobs.
Am I correct in that?
Yeah, it's retainment. And what happens, remember, when jobs were taken away and people were furloughed or laid off, those numbers then go down. So they're basically just moving back to where they are. But the number Bob Garrett talked about a little bit is that there's 3.5 million people less employed at this time than there was before the pandemic. So those when you get into the details of the numbers, you start to sort of see the reality. Have we employed more people? No. We're just getting back. We're retaining and moving forward. So with lack of need for your service or your goods, people laid people off or furloughed. And remember, the government jumped up here and made decisions that businesses had to abide by as far as shutting down. So I believe this is going to take another year to pan out, and we'll see. But you see what Wall Street's doing. You see what the hedge funds are doing. And there's big money to be made on this pandemic. The other concern that we barely got into was China and Iran and what we should be doing with the tariffs for those countries and the security. But, yeah, retaining jobs is probably a term that should be used a little bit more.
Right, because, I mean, I only know of one relatively new company in the area actually creating new jobs, and that's the Websterunt Warehouse up in Buckhorn.
Okay.
I don't know of too many other ones. I look in the paper. I know there's people always looking for people. Conier up in Bloom, they're always got an ad in the paper. They're looking for people. So they're not really creating any new jobs. It's just that. And I know how this works when the news media says all this. But of course, all the credit goes towards the current administration. Just like they tried to take it from the past. Administration back in July and August last year when the numbers jumped through. Now, I won't credit Trump with those, just as I won't credit Biden for these, because these jobs were there before the government took them. So they're creating nothing.
But I would say this, though. Let's point out that the Biden administration, even though these numbers of creating jobs are there, but they're just coming back. They're just retaining the jobs that were there. But the Biden administration did cut jobs. They cut the XL pipeline. They've cut other energy jobs. So within the administration, look at retainage and then look at jobs that were actually cut. So we're going to see some numbers shape out. But we have, on the energy sectors, the price of gas up almost a dollar from last year at this time. You see what the energy stocks are doing. But look at the net loss of jobs under the Biden administration compared to where the jobs were in the Trump administration before the pandemic.
So you're still
right.
Millions apart, right?
You know,
2 million.
The credit is what it belongs to the employers, Not anybody in the government.
Yeah, and also, too, the government is trying to create jobs. When government creates jobs, beware. When the private sector creates jobs, that could, and again, we don't need more taxes. We need more taxpayers.
All right.
That's right.
Thank you so much, Stan. Thanks for checking in.
All right. Oh, yeah, by the way, the Midwest School District has it right, not having a 1619 project in critical race theory taught in their schools. They're on the right path.
Right. We
Have a great day.
Got to keep the black man down if you can. That would
No, it has nothing to do with that, Mark. Come on. You know that.
Oh, I don't know that. I know why they're doing it. I know why they're doing it. Don't worry. All right. Thank you so much, Stan. Really appreciate the call. Thanks for checking in. 1-800-795-9565. We're still analyzing the jobless numbers that came in and some of the remarks of the Greater Susquehanna Valley Chamber of Commerce leaders who were on the line. We can also talk about the critical race theory. You will not hear that, nor the 1619 project in the Midwest School District. They listened to a couple of local pastors and some parents who were very afraid of their students learning what really happened as far as race in the U.S., and this is one way to discuss it.
I don't know about afraid, but the proper... proper analysis is fine.
Oh, it's fear, baby. It's fear.
I don't think it's fear. I think it's a 1619 is... bad scenario. Teaching history, yes. But remember, too, interesting part of it, there was a number of black slave owners throughout history that seemed to get pushed aside or underneath. And also, remember, there's a number of blacks who were in the business of catching slaves in Africa, who happened to be black, and then selling them to the Dutch and the English. So, you know, slavery is probably a little more murky than it is.
Isn't that funny that those are like two different... What you're saying is important news, is part of the 1619 Project, but we shouldn't teach it, right? We should not teach what you're talking about.
You should teach history, but it's not part of the 1619 Project that I saw where they were talking about black slave owners.
Well, you're missing the boat then. Okay, go back.
Well, then
read it again.
The part I saw did not teach it that way. And also, it puts races against each other.
Hold the also. 1-800-795-9565. Midwest School District says our students must not learn this perspective of history under any circumstances at all whatsoever. Of course, more learned individuals would most certainly say the more you know, the more you hear, you shouldn't cancel anything. You should keep the curriculum open so that students can learn everything, including about Memphis, including about black slave owners.
I think you're talking about Tulsa.
And yeah, thank you very much. Right, I got this. Yeah, they didn't teach me at Chickalimmie. I didn't even know about it until a couple of years ago. All right, 1-800-795-9565. We're trying to keep the black man down. You want to help? Call us now.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, we're talking about critical race theory and the 1619 Project, which students must not know anything about at the Midwest School District.
1619, then put 1776 in there and then come up with a curriculum.
And what are other theories we shouldn't teach? About the theory of relativity, should we teach that? No, we should not. I don't understand that, so we should definitely ban that. What's another theory?
Theory that if there was a nuclear disaster and the world blew up, the only two things left would be cockroaches and Keith Richards.
I hadn't heard that one, but that's called the Rolling Stones theory. All right. So, yeah, we got to make sure that students don't learn about race. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Before we launch into our conversation, one of our good listeners sends us a note and says, this morning I had the pleasure of hearing a new song that Toby Keith launched. It's called Happy Birthday, America. The lyrics in that song spell out what is going on in our beautiful country. This is the reason I wrote this note. It's because I feel all who love this country need to hear it. It's a beautiful, brings a tear to the eye, at least to mine. So, yeah, Toby Keith, Happy Birthday, America. And that's from literally one of the smartest women in the world. So if she says it, it must be true. Lance, you are on the mark. Thank you for calling in.
Okay, well, the 1619 Project, the thing that is poisonous in it is where it allows that the sole reason for the founding of the USA was to preserve slavery, to have a place where it can be preserved and taken care of, when nothing was further from the truth. I mean, that's the part of it. Now, to have what happened and how slavery affected everything, we must learn that.
And Lance, like I said, so their narrative was wrong to start that way. And, let's get into it today. Slavery exists today. Human trafficking exists today.
Yeah.
The United States took steps to ban slavery and fought a war over slavery. So when these people want to come out and say the United States was fundamentally... the foundation of the United States was slavery, which is, it's just not true. I mean, it was part of all countries at the time, still is today in particular countries. I mean, China pimps out their residents, their citizens to other countries and gets money back from them when they send them to the Middle East to do jobs. But, again, take 1619, take 1776, combine them, talk about history, talk about race relations, and move forward. Many of the narratives are so politically entangled, it's a plate of spaghetti. You start at this end, you don't know what comes out on the other end. And it's not, history teaching is different than civics and social studies. History should be hopefully based on a high percentage of factual information. But remember, those who lead or those who are in charge write the history for the most part. However, you would hope that you could get a blend of 1619 and 1776 and have a historic look.
Well, we have the whitewashed version of history being taught in schools in the U.S., and we have to keep that going. That's what our parents grew up hearing, is the whitewashed version of history. And if they find out what the real history is, they won't be able to handle it. So we must make sure that we bend. And not only these things, the 1619 Project or the critical race theory, we've got to make sure that they don't find out about Tulsa and they don't find out about how... business and industry you worked together integrally like a plate of spaghetti to make sure that the black man was kept down and that was an integral part of making the economy great. So, yeah, I think when you pull racial reality out of U.S. history, I think our kids are missing something. I don't think you're enhancing history when you remove facts from our history.
No, I don't. I agree with you 100%. But the thing that I disagree with is they say that it's irredeemable, and it was started out to preserve slavery, and nothing was further from the truth. That's when I started getting into this. I thought, all these guys were real cockroaches, but, something to think about, too, is in any of our founding documents, you can't find the word slave, slavery, or slaveholder. And Frederick Douglass pointed that out, I mean, the great abolitionist, he's a great mind, a great, wonderful person. And he was taken to task, by the black folks and said that this country is a, slave holders from the get-go. And that's it.
Well, I would say this, though. Whitewashing, whatever term you want to use, I disagree. Where else in the world, what country gave its citizens and non-citizens more opportunities to succeed than the United States? So if you're saying history's whitewashed, I would disagree, because we have Frederick Douglass. We have history. We have Martin Luther King. You know, we see the struggle of the Civil War. So what other country in this world gives the opportunities? Where do you get situations where people and a middle class and upper middle class of black Americans have succeeded? Where do you get those opportunities to succeed? You get the opportunities. You don't get guaranteed results here in the United States. And systemic racism, start to show that, because if you're going to talk about it, start to show where it is and exactly how it works, because it's a term that gets thrown out there without anything really behind it. It's sizzle, Lance, no steak.
Lance, you get another 30 seconds. Go right ahead.
Well, that 1619 project, that allows that we're not redeemable. And I'll tell you what, if the Republican Party had never been formed, we would be irredeemable. But thank goodness, you know, for Abe Lincoln and the Republicans. A lot of those Republicans were hanged by the Democrats, you know.
Right. And the funny thing is to see how much the nation has evolved. And now look at the Republicans. They're the ones that are the oppressors. So things have come full circle.
Oh, come on. Will you get real?
Joe Biden would say, Mark, come on, man.
Okay, look, here.
Lance,
200 years of unabashed racism on the part of the Democratic Party, right?
Right.
Think
and now Republicans in every state trying to keep the vote down. Lance, we got to move on, but thank you so much. Thank you so much. 1-800-795-9565. Got an open line if you'd like to call in. 1-800-795-9565. We're going to take a break. One of our listeners says the 1619 lie is just that. America, as we know it, was not formed until 1787 with the Constitution. Before 1776, this country was under British control. And Mark, all that you mentioned about slavery can and should be mentioned and taught, but not with a Marxist-inspired, oppressed slant. 1-800-795-9565, our telephone number, if you wish to weigh in on this. Lots of folks afraid to touch it, but really, I think school kids should be exposed to a wide range of truths, not just the theories that we agree with, like the theory of evolution, says one of our good listeners, should be taught, or the theory of relativity, or critical race theory should be taught. You should expose kids to more, not less. You shouldn't take the pillars of history and cut them out. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. Call us now with your view on this. 1-800-795-9565. All right, welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Talking about Midwest School District banning the use of 1619 Project in critical race theory in the classroom. And one of our listeners says, I was driving in the car and heard Lance say that the problem with the 1619 Project is that it holds that America was founded to preserve slavery. Please ask Lance to elaborate. All right. So, Lance, you can call back for a minute with that essay in hand. Another listener says, please explain how Republicans oppress, because voters' integrity laws oppress or suppress no one except cheaters. And Mark, you are wrong, capital letters, wrong. All aspects of our past should be taught, but not from a right or left slant, just straight up facts. The facts only. Unvarnished facts. And another listener says, Ben is absolutely positively correct. There is slavery in existence today. Look towards China and their forced labor camps and the human traffickers operating on our southern border.
Yes. Talking about what you said about teaching, though, also let's throw in the teaching of capitalists and how capitalism have moved more people out of poverty and given opportunities compared to Marxist, socialist, communist, and others.
All right.
So there's a lot to be taught.
Dale, we are talking about critical race theory in the classroom. Does it have a place? Midwest says absolutely positively not. The kids can't.
It only exists in the media because I don't see no racism. I come in contact with people of different races and different nationalities every day. No one even mentions race.
Huh,
I just think the media, the old white geezers, got to keep that story alive. That's the only way they're going to keep.
That's
the only way they're going to keep making their revenue.
That's us, baby.
I mean, basically, the corporation, the tax-exempt corporations and our government is dead broke. They have to promote this because right now they're looting our country, and our country is about to collapse. So if we don't create more government jobs, we start creating private sector jobs. China's going to sell all their stock in the Dow. We're going to crash. Basically, that's what we have to keep letting China know we're hiring more government. I mean, every information you get is come from tax-exempt corporations and state media, and it's echoed all day. And most people don't live in your world. So, like, you try to keep the race card going and all like that. So I don't see it.
Well,
10 minutes a week of news, that's all you need.
Isn't China more interesting, Dale, and as they're saying here?
It all started with Trump. Trump has been a Democrat, and the Democrats are reselling our country. Trump's always been a Democrat. I don't know where you guys ever came up with he's a Republican. He's not a nationalist either. My man is all about money.
He's a populist.
What he did was he separated this country and exposed what China has to deal with, and now they see. So if you don't have the same opinion as state media or taxes of corporations, you're a bad person.
Okay.
So like the media likes to say, you're racist, like the media does, you know. So basically, anything anybody knows or says, if they watch the news more than 10 minutes a week, basically they're psychologically destroyed, basically. I would say you're a trash as a human being if you listen more than 10 minutes a week of news.
Yeah.
I think you're trash.
Okay. Okay, Dale. Boy,
we'll go out in the real world and see how many racist people are out there. I don't see that many. I'm sorry.
All right.
Well,
thank you so much.
Take out the garbage and move to the next one. But remember, though, China is, Mark, as they said, they are bashing heads bloody. That was what the Xi Jinping talked about at the 100-year dedication, I guess, of the CCP. That's the China Communist Party.
All right.
So let the Chinese roll.
Jim, thank you for calling in. You're on the mark. We got two other calls coming in. Go ahead, Jim.
Good morning, Mark and Ben. Mark, I blame Joe Biden for a lot of this problems because even Brian Knoebel was hunting for workers. Wise's, if you read their sales receipts, they're hunting for workers. You had the pipeline going. You had that fence down in Texas going, and he's shutting stuff down. And more or less, I believe Biden. And if Trump runs again, I'm going to vote for him. And because you're fighting City Hall with Joe Biden. And I just can't believe him, Mark.
All right. All right, we got you. Anything else?
More or less, since you have the other two calls, I'll just hang up and let them get their voices in also, sir.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in. Thanks for being on board. We'll see you on the 12th. We need more folks to call back on the 12th when we come back on the air. Thank you, sir. Lance, you are on the mark. Go right ahead.
Okay, well, I based what I was talking about, you know, that the country was founded with the express purpose of preserving slavery. I read that in a couple of essays that were in the journal, and then I can't exactly remember which one of the folks at Muggy's Breakfast, you know, I think Professor Orbacher, but, you know, I kind of got into it, and that is what he allowed. Was that this country was pure to the core and could not be redeemed because it was founded with the express purpose of preserving slavery.
All right, we got you. All right, thank you so
much.
That's
where I get it. Now, gotcha. I could be wrong, okay?
All right.
I'm
we
not saying that.
Got
this
it.
This is why I said that, okay?
Thank you, sir. All right, we got to take a quickie break. Hold on, Chris. We'll be right back.
There's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Yeah, we got a whole shift in the U.S. in terms of the attitude about work, hard work. A lot of folks abandoning it, trying to be stay-at-home dads out there.
Young people are stepping in, though, Mark, the 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds.
They're working it.
They're stepping in.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. We got room for one more call, probably. We could take another email, and we could take a text at 70236 with the keyword OTM. Got a couple of minutes left for the live segment today, the next week's Best Of, and we're back on the 12th. Chris, thank you so much for waiting through the break. We appreciate it. You're on the mark.
Well, it wasn't much of a wait, really. But anyway, slavery in the Constitution, it's not mentioned with those words, but everybody knows what other persons meant. And the Democratic Party from the South after the Civil War and later on was distinct from other regions of the country in Democratic Party and various issues, including race. And the changeover started probably with Brown versus Education, where it was ruled that segregation in education was not equal education. And blacks had a right to go to public universities. It was further continued because the Republican Party in 1964 chose Goldwater, who was anti the Civil Rights Acts and pro and by reason of states' rights over the Civil Rights Acts. And that's when the big change took place.
Well, the Civil Rights Act passed because of Northeast Republican votes. So if you're going to run down the history, then run down the history.
And then Northeast and Midwest Republican votes and Democratic votes in the Northeast and the Midwest and the West.
Yeah, but Lyndon Johnson
the
point was Republican leadership freed the slaves. Democratic policies over the years, and all of which they still exist today, have held back certain minority groups.
Yes, and I'm Democratic policies over. Well, we'll skip that.
No, don't skip it. Talk about the Great Society that wasn't great. Talk about the depletion and the dilution of the Democratic
of
the blacks' families.
Precisely, and that's what caused the South the Southern strategy for Nixon.
And look at the black families. Look at the Great Society, and since that was implemented, look at what it's done to black society, and look at the lack of.
Oh yeah. Like the riots were a result because it was so good before the Great Society, huh?
No, the civil rights.
The riots had started happening before
the civil rights protests were there. But look at the blacks. Look at black society. Look at the black community before and look at it after, and you tell me there's an improvement there. No, Chris,
okay,
there wasn't.
Yes, there's an improvement there.
No, there wasn't
there's
an
a big improvement.
Improvement
there.
Lack of fathers. Look at the poverty levels. I mean, there's no improvement there. There's no great society
before 1950.
Yes,
oh,
look
yeah,
at
I'll
it and look at that. Yes, and look at the look at the black. Chris, you're absolutely wrong. And here's the point: look at the black family and look at the single. Look at single mothers. Yes, it is, Chris. Look at the single
look
mothers and the black
family in the South before the Civil Rights Act and now.
Chris, look at the black community before and after.
Look at their schools in the South before now.
All right, Chris, we got to hold
sorry,
on. Ben,
you are
stand
wrong.
By Ben. Stand by Ben.
Wrong.
Chris, we got to move on.
And just one quick sentence.
Yep.
The problem with critical race theory is that the schools are incapable of teaching controversial subjects.
Educators aren't educated.
The point of the comment about the founding on slavery was because the South states realized that the England was going against slavery.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much, Chris. Cindy, last caller of the week. Go right ahead. You're on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen, and a happy 4th of July to you before I forget. This is Cindy. I just wanted to say that I think that it's a misnomer that they're not teaching about slavery and black history in our schools. I looked at the academic standards for Pennsylvania for history in our state, passed laws dictating what kinds of subjects should be raised, and certainly I checked slavery repeatedly appears in the text for that, as does racism. So I don't believe that it's true. In fact, I dispute the idea that we're not teaching children about racism in our school districts or the history of slavery in our country. They, you know, we celebrate black history every year, and the children learn about people, you know, all throughout history. Frederick Douglass, for example, famous black people throughout history. I think that's a false narrative to be saying we're not teaching about racism. Now, it may be true that it does not follow a specific person's perspective about how that should be taught, but that doesn't mean that it's not taught. I think that's unfair to make that suggestion.
Yeah, I'm not making that suggestion. If that's what you took from what I heard or from what I said,
you know,
I certainly know that slavery is taught in schools. I went to school, so I know what was taught there. You know, it was only 50 short years ago, but I do remember what I learned. But I think if you carve out important texts or commentary or editorials or fact-based remarks or stories about Tulsa or black slaves that owned blacks or blacks that owned slaves, as Ben was talking about, I think if you pick and choose and you say, well, some of this checkerboard of history is good to look at, but some of these squares are just too horrendous, we can't look at them, I think you're missing an opportunity. And I think our students should learn all about it, warts and all.
Well, I think one of the great things that we hope our schools are doing, and Ben mentioned this a few weeks ago, is we're teaching children to read, because then all those facts are open to them. All those commentaries, all those opinions. If you can read, you can explore all of these issues. You know, I've talked about before on the air, there is not enough time in the school year to address everybody's issues. There just isn't. And so some things get the emphasis that people are happy about, and some people don't get the emphasis. But that doesn't mean that that family, if they want a greater emphasis on a certain issue, can't explore that with their children. They can certainly take a vacation that takes them to places where they can deepen their children's understanding about those things. It isn't just the schools that are responsible for educating our children.
Yeah,
so are their families.
Yeah, I guess you misheard what I said. Okay, well, thank you so much, Cindy. Really appreciate it. I'm not diminishing the importance of the family either.
Nope. Happy 4th of July. Safe, happy 4th of July. And congratulations to Deanna Price and Brooke Anderson.
All right. Yeah, fabulous winners. So we appreciate their victory. This is WDKOK Sunbury.